Cheers.
Cheers.
Welcome back, everybody, to
Driftmark.
Driftmark. Hot D, episode 7. Holy crap.
I have not.
That was different.
Yelled.
Diffy.
Yeah. That whole episode, I was lit.
Man.
Yelling, screaming,
yep.
Gasping.
Yep.
I think we both said multiple times, wait, this is happening right now? I loved it. I loved the episode. I absolutely loved it.
All set on Driftmark. Not quite a bottle episode, but since it's an island, technically,
man,
sort of like a bottle episode.
Yeah, it was, what, 24 hours maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
Nuts. Absolutely nuts. The amount of things that happened in that episode, complete mayhem. On the backdrop of a beautiful oceanfront property with a funeral as the main event. Everyone was back. Everyone was together. The dragons were there. The whole fam was there. And chaos ensued.
So...
where do we even start?
What do you think?
The first opening scene, however long that was, when everybody was basically just looking around at each other.
In the little reception after
the
funeral,
the little
too.
Deck.
Yeah.
Those...
seaside balcony.
There was so much depth in the looks that everybody was giving each other. And I don't know how long that scene lasted. 10 minutes, maybe? Of just everybody looking around. And I thought it was an unbelievable setting the stage for the amount of things that were about to happen throughout the episode.
We don't normally talk during the episode, but we talked during that episode.
I couldn't help
during
it.
During that part of the episode.
I couldn't help it.
So what do you think? I think I asked you, so what do you think about this?
Uh-huh.
Man. Way to take the book lore and to really squeeze it out for us. You know what I mean? Like a wet dish rag. But in ambrosia.
I know. Well, you tweeted
better
than the
book. The sink is full of ambrosia.
You tweeted better than the book.
Well, I was talking specifically about the Amon stuff.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course.
When they got the daughters involved, I really liked that. Mm-hmm. I really liked that. And the fact that he struck one of the girls, it was like, all right, maybe we'll cut one of his eyes out.
Right, right.
Something like that. I can see the actor. I don't know the actor's name, but I know who looks like him. And I don't think he's a British guy. So this is really a bad point to bring up this early in the podcast. So I wonder how they'll recast him. But if that's the guy, okay. He's a bad guy in a lot of stuff. Mm. I don't want to give any vibes to anyone, though.
Okay.
How they should feel about Amon. Because right now, a lot of people probably are pretty pro Amon.
Oh my gosh. I mean, how could you not be?
No kidding.
I think... we're far off from our own. But so there was the whole time I was like, how am I going to be able to pick between these scenes which one ruled the most? Because Aemon and the way that he just walks up to Vhagar and handles the whole situation, he looked like such a little boy next to this huge ancient dragon.
Not
and
quite
he
the
just,
pink dread.
Not far removed from the pink dread. He just handles it. And I agree. Having the sisters there was a nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
They were all by themselves. In that little corridor, the rock. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was just executed flawlessly.
Mm-hmm. I loved having Viserys involved.
Oh my
I loved
gosh.
Having Rhaenyra and Alicent involved and that being the scene and not being in some courtroom in King's Landing when we saw the trailers like a year ago.
Right.
Or like 9 months ago whenever Now They See You As They Are was revealed. This was a... I didn't expect it to go down like that.
Not even in the
slightest. What an episode that was put in one location with, I mean, a lot happened, but it was all interpersonal. And, I mean, it's the first season, but it's an accelerated TV show. It's not the same show as GOT, but still, this was sort of classic, but with even more. When I say classic, I mean like early GOT interpersonal drama, but turned
times
up to 11. I mean, we saw something similar with Joffrey and Arya and Micah the Butcher Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar, not quite. Imagine if Joffrey got one of his eyes sliced out.
Right.
How different that would have been with Cersei and Robert and Ned and everybody. But no, this was turned up to 19.
Well, especially because every narrative and every scene in House of the Dragon, as you've been saying, is all centered around the same idea. So it's not like we're jumping between Joffrey and whatever else is going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just so...
Yeah, that's true.
And so the momentum builds and builds and builds and builds until we get to Viserys up in Aemon's face as your king and as your dad.
As your dad.
Well, which one's worse?
Grandfather to some of
right.
you. Yeah.
Tell me who did this. He looks at Alicent. I mean, Alicent lost it. You were loving it. You were like, when she was looking around in the first scene, you were like, I don't know. You said something, but you were like, what is this?
In the opening scene?
Yeah, in the opening
scene. Basically, Lannis' funeral.
Yeah.
Well, it was just because it was so real.
Mm-hmm.
And we're used to the show being so epic. Even the earlier episodes of this season where we said that it was doing what we just said, where it was being so much more real. We're live streaming right now on Instagram. And so Hannah's looking at the sorry, I'm going to look at it too. Okay. Mild distraction, not too much of a distraction. But we didn't get it like this.
Right.
It was the interpersonal drama without large-scale Game of Thrones, typical, even Lord of the Rings, typical fantasy that we're all trying to warm ourselves around. Probably these networks like Amazon and HBO are trying to warm themselves around, but this is an episode 7 that didn't really do any of that. And yet, I think, I don't know how anyone, I feel like my mom's going to text me about this mm-hmm. and be mm-hmm. like, what about all that stuff uh-huh. that happened?
Right.
And I haven't had the same reaction from a lot of people so far this season in my personal life. They've had stuff to say, but I think that more people are going to have stuff to say after
this. Well, we already saw it. I mean, we got a text from one of our friends who texted our group thread. It was like, did you see that episode? We haven't had that yet,
I haven't looked at my phone.
Oh, well, you will see on your phone.
Okay, cool.
Well, good. Did you see the
Maybe
episode?
My mom's already texted me about this then.
Maybe.
I think there's something so real that George is able to harness into his stories that maybe it was less obvious in GOT because, like you said, we bounced away from Joffrey. We bounced. It didn't seem like the full gamut of human emotion.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of went with the momentum of the series at that point, and we didn't care about it too much.
Sure.
Even though, if you were to talk about a conversation like this, if they just gave us a scene to react to, we could probably talk for an hour about
mm-hmm.
it. But there's so much else going on. But between human beings, as far as I know, are the only people watching this TV show, this is the stuff we really care about.
This, yes.
Truly. And with what we've been talking about over the past 5-6 weeks, about Hot D specifically, and with Fire and Blood too, the focus of the generational conflict and these actual human beings and the fact that it's a royal family that potentially has magic involved with it, that's all decoration on the outside of it. What really connects us to this at all is that it's people versus people.
Mm-hmm.
And this was all people. And something that I really loved, I know you said that I tweeted something about it being better than the books as far as that specific scene was concerned. But as far as a TV show, this was like Mad Men meets GOT. It was so aware of what you'll really care about without caring about bombastic fantasy elements to pull you into it. This was people versus people, and I think the focus of the kids made it so much better than what I read.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Because the kids, and especially how they cast the different family kids, the Rhaenyra's kids versus Allison's kids,
mm-hmm.
their vibes are so drastically different, not just because they have different parentage, but just we've got the boldness of Allison's kids and I guess the chip on their shoulder, and then we've got Rhaenyra's kids who seem to be so much more meek, and they're younger, but I don't know, they've got a little more docile vibe, I would say.
It's
and they're a little
they're
more
a little
mousy
younger,
they're yeah but not
is it because
much.
They don't have the epic hairstyle?
I think so. But I think that's part of it. And so then you get Damon and Lena's kids added into the mix, and they're so unpolished, and they're so little, and they're so unprofessional.
They're not used to court at all. They haven't been there at all.
They've been traveling with their family. They're friends. And so the waking up each other's in their beds, you hear Vhagar's been stolen.
That was probably because Jace decided to, like Rhaenyra said, go give a little bit of comfort to their cousins.
So sweet.
Yeah.
Such a sweet scene.
That was a nice touch as far as the blocking of the episode was concerned, mm-hmm. just to sort of connect them for an unofficial reason.
Completely.
We didn't see Aegon do it. We didn't see Aemon do that, but they did. Luke and Jace did.
So we saw Aegon getting kicked by his grandpa while he was sitting in the stairwell.
Oh, yeah.
But I just...
I thought it was Laenor at first.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
But I'm... All this to say, I'd agree with you. The kids and their unpolished sloppiness and their schoolyard drama that is playing out for reasons that even they don't fully understand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Viserys is grilling them about where did they hear these rumors from? And Aemon is almost caught off guard because he's kind of like, isn't this common knowledge? Aegon say that? He's like, everybody knows this already.
Yeah, he does.
Why are
Everyone
we pretending
can see it,
like
is what
this
he said.
is something that's not true, you know? So I just felt like this episode did an excellent job of showcasing the kids fully bought in, but not really understanding why.
Mm-hmm.
Because to them, it's an obvious issue.
Have you ever been a part of a drama like that as a kid with adults, between adults?
Oh, no, that not kind between
of,
adults.
That kind of thing
no.
could be really shocking and
yeah.
really weird. And it was very accurate to that situation
yeah,
where even if you're at the scale of potential royalty, just the fact that they're adults and that there's, especially if it's family, that fear of things you can't say falls away whenever
Completely.
There's conflict like that.
Completely.
Even if one of the guys there is the king, it wouldn't matter if Viserys was really strong and powerful.
Mm-mm.
It would have been exactly the same thing.
Because that's their dad and that's their grandpa.
Exactly.
And it has nothing to do with anybody.
And so they might just say something like mm-hmm. everyone can see it because
exactly.
right now the volume has been turned up
and
to
11
and the
guys are
high.
In the room. Everybody's actually in the room for once.
We're
and
family.
It's only, yeah,
he
I mean.
Says. It zooms out on that cave with the fire glittering off the walls and they are family.
It's not a
the
bad
Valyrians
argument.
And the Targaryens at that time, they are.
What did you think about Corlys going to talk to Jace, right? Jace is the older one. I always forget. He's like, oh, no, not Jace, Luke, Lucaris. He was like, you're going to be Lord of Driftmark, Lord of the
what
Tides.
What if I don't want to be?
He's like, that means everybody's going to be
dead. One day someone
dead.
Far down the line in your family will say the same exact thing. I don't want it.
Right. He's like, that means everybody will be dead. I was surprised that Corlys
yeah.
was so pro playing the party line with Laenor and Rhaenyra. He was like, yeah, I don't care who inherits this as long as they have my name.
But
it doesn't matter.
But he's Corlys of the Nine Voyages.
Right.
It makes sense, actually.
Does it?
He's seen the whole world. He single-handedly brought the wealth of House Valyrian to the point that they're at. He married Rhaenys because he passed over other people that he didn't like. He's pragmatic as the rest of them.
Right.
He is, even in that position of power, as he is. But I think we saw both of them really fall apart when they thought that Laenor had been toasted. Laenor faking his own death with Carl. What? We can say it now. What a freaking change from the book.
I know. So
to everyone listening that hasn't read Fire and Blood, this isn't that big of a spoiler because you just watched more than we've seen.
Yeah, more
than what we've read from the book. So in the book, Carl, his friend at that time, post Joffrey friend, Carl, you know, that guy.
We've seen him.
He sort of like in a town square, like in a, I think it was in Planky, not Planky Town, that's Dorne. It has a very Planky Town name. It's the little town outside of Driftmark that's the center of trade. They had a public spat, and Mushroom and Eustace and basically everyone says that Daemon probably
right.
was a part of that. That
right.
that Carl, just like they set up in the TV show here, was not necessarily upjumped, but had tastes beyond his station, and someone was like, hey, are you not getting everything you want right now all at once? I can give you a cheat code to get there all at once. And Laenor was dead. And then 6 months later, the marriage happened that mm-hmm. happened in this episode. And Viserys was pretty pissed off about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Corlys was or if even Rhaenys was. I'm sure they were based on the people that we're seeing depicted in the TV show here. But at least in the books, there wasn't much focus on that. But if we can draw from how Corlys was in this TV show about that situation you're talking about, he probably would have been just as pragmatic as the situation called for, like he was with Luke and Jacaerys. So
it doesn't change much for him.
We thought he was dead, though.
Right, but it
we
doesn't.
Thought he was dead.
Well, I guess it does change. So does that mean that those kids will still inherit Driftmark, even though both of his kids are gone? That was nuts, though, that he is alive. That Laenor is alive.
Yeah, I like that.
I thought that
lot.
Was. I love it.
A lot.
Because he, especially after coming to Rhaenyra,
yeah.
he's, I'm ready to dedicate myself as a husband. And then the moment he had an opportunity and they had
well,
a chance to escape.
I mean,
it was probably.
Whenever he tried, I guess he created an opportunity,
yeah.
but she didn't let him have it.
Well, I mean, when he was about to die, or he thought he was about to die, you know, or however that played out between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just thought it was really powerful. That
what a cool way to do it. What a cool way to do it. Because in that sequence of switching between the conversation with Daemon and Rhaenyra on the cliffside, watching the ships depart and Vhagar flying into the sea with them and following them finally, I thought we were about to see the blossoming of what they were setting up, which
yeah.
is that if they know what we're capable of, then maybe they'll fear us, at least be intimidated and secure to some degree, maybe act a little bit less against us. And I thought, okay, Rhaenyra and Daemon are about to blossom into becoming even more bad guys than we thought before, even with the recent redemptions of Daemon that were even lingering in this episode. But they're not all bad, because rather than it being really brute forced and sort of blunt edged, they apparently created, either they did it with Carl or Carl did on his own.
Right.
But somehow,
hard to say.
Laenor and his friend made their way out of the situation completely, potentially unscathed.
With money and gold.
With money.
Money and gold, the same kind of thing, same thing. But I mean, I'm a sucker for a good voiceover scene. And so that conversation over that fight, I was losing my mind. I feel like I have nothing.
It was good.
I have nothing smart to say about anything in this episode,
yeah,
because every reaction I had was, this is unbelievable.
It was just good.
It was just great.
Yeah, it was really, like I said, interpersonally, not really fireworky, but at the same time, just gripping. Absolutely gripping. All the little looks and stuff at that first reception really, I think they were so, it's just, I think that transition of time is gone by now.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Especially, yeah. And you saw with Rhaenyra and Daemon's conversation, you see glimpses of that young Rhaenyra when she was interacting with Daemon and kind of jabbing at him a little bit. I feel like some of that playfulness that she had a little bit when she was younger, that quick wit that...
You mean the power dynamic between a niece and an uncle?
But you know what I mean.
That's never going to go away because he's literally her uncle.
I know. It's
so
a different
funny.
Time, though.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess
that
you're
was
right.
The whole thing.
So you're pro Rhaenyra and Daemon TV show?
Of course. Did you see that wedding?
Yeah, so tell everyone what you thought about that wedding scene.
You tell everybody what you thought about that wedding scene.
What I thought about it?
Yeah.
I thought it was cute.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was cute. I thought it was a little quick.
Uh-huh.
6 months would have been a little quick, but this seemed like maybe 6 hours.
Right.
And that's pretty quick, too. I'm curious as to how show Rhaenys and Corlys will react to it. Mm-hmm. That's something I'm really interested in. The Daemon's daughter just didn't. They looked a little. They were there at the wedding,
right.
But they looked pretty sus about the whole thing.
Can you blame them? They just lost their mom.
I know.
They're so young.
I know.
They just lost their mom.
Yeah,
I mean,
but at least they didn't lose her in a Laenor fashion, where it seemed like some kind of misdeed happened.
Right. She got to go out.
She went out on her own.
A dragon rider's death.
Exactly.
Still, but in childbirth.
You're stealing my mother's dragon. Way to turn it up even more than it was.
Well, she
in
was
the
like,
book.
I'm supposed to claim. That was my
yes,
dragon.
That's
to
what
claim.
I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That was so
even
he's
better.
Like, well, you should have claimed it.
Yeah, even better.
It's been maybe 5 hours.
What they've made us feel like that I don't think that was super obvious to everyone, but everyone watching the show now I think will totally understand, is that these kids are the new focus.
Mm-hmm.
And that the beginning of the season, those kids were the focus.
Right.
And now these kids are the focus. And that's exactly what we need. And man, they've done such a good job knowing what the future of the story has to hold without giving any spoilers specifically about any characters. They've done such a good job of making it feel way more weighty than I thought they ever would.
I completely
agree. The new conflicts that are coming with the cuts that happened, the reactions right after Aemond was sailing and landing with Vhagar, who was shown and how they reacted to it. It was a confident setup that I think I said in the last episode that we did a handful of days ago, part two of the last episode, I think that the Baratheon Storm's End stuff will be part of what really sets off season two pretty early.
Yeah.
And they're going to be even aged up for that.
Right. Well, that's
even
what
more.
I was going to say is, I mean, we've still got time for them to grow. And we've only been with them for 2 episodes, right? This is the second episode we've had the kids on. Am I wrong about
trying
that?
To remember. I don't think so. I think you're right.
But it just feels like they've been part of the conflict the whole time. Or they've been part of the narrative the whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's just because you have the book reader's perspective. I think that they've just so seamlessly sunk into this conflict.
It's the way they did this episode, too, that really made it feel real. We had the normal training in the yard stuff that we've gotten in GOT before in the last episode. And Harwin and Christine were the focus of that, really, with the... Lionel and Viserys on the sideline, and so it tied the whole thing together. But this one was the the sort of victory lap for those kids becoming integrated completely into the story.
Exactly.
So without asking about what your own is, what was your favorite sequence of this episode? And I don't know, what would be your main takeaway from this? I know we just saw it and we've only retweeted like 12 owns right now. We're going to get back to it as soon as possible.
I'm really pleased and feel really, really good about the Aemond questioning scene with everybody in the hall.
Yeah.
When we saw in the trailer Allison pull the knife on Rhaenyra, I wasn't sure how it was going to go. I really was a little worried about, because like we got, okay, the knife, we get it.
Now they see you as
as
that knife too.
That specific knife, before we really knew anything about anything, that's what we, I was worried about that scene a little bit.
What were you worried about?
That was going to be cliche and cheesy and that they were going to like throwing around this prop that we were already familiar with and that we were supposed to think it was cool because of that moment. Come to find out, we've got, what did you notice how Rhaenyra was like looking between the fire and the knife and back and forth as she was talking about, I can't remember exactly what she says.
She was talking about fire being influential to House Targaryen, or that was after, but you're talking
about the knife was pulled
during
on
the
her.
Sequence? Yeah.
Yeah, when the knife was pulled
she had
on
a
her.
Little focus on it and there was fire burning in the background and you could see a little bit of the pattern, like the folded steel in the blade itself.
So I was wondering if the inscription was going to come out. In the middle of that.
It'd be cool if it came out just if someone that was willing was extra fiery.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Extra mad.
I thought it was incredibly well executed. I thought it was much better than I thought it was going to be in the trailer. I thought that Allison was unbelievable in that scene.
Like well acted?
Well acted.
Yeah.
Her asking Kristen to take...
You're the queen's protector. Uh-huh. He goes, okay, I stand with the queen.
Exactly.
Holy crap.
Take his eye or take
Harold
something.
Westerling's
you don't get to choose.
Like, all right. Maybe I'll stand with the king then right now. Maybe we'll literally all... That's why I asked you about if you've ever been a part of a family conflict like that or an adult conflict when you were a kid, because that's... not that the kids being involved make it worse, but also it kind of does. I mean, worse because of the optics of what impression you're throwing on the kids, but also if there's this weird thing where if everyone's kind of safe with each other, then stuff can go down pretty hard. If there were other competitors to their safety, like if the triarchy was just outside the gates, they'd all band together. But because no one's there, then Kristen Cole might fight someone that he shouldn't fight. And then another member of the Kingsguard might fight their now Lord Commander of the Kingsguard, Kristen Cole. And so stuff just blows up in a really awkward way, specifically and especially awkward if kids are there to see how fake everything is.
Well,
and that's basically what it was.
Exactly.
And so that really just doubles down on the focus of these kids being the new focus of the show, really, because they've seen just how fake everything really is, even though it didn't get too crazy. Like, the knights didn't start fighting, but I would argue that it got crazier than if knights started fighting because
completely.
The queen attacked the princess.
And she bled a
sliced
lot.
Sliced her forearm open, and she bled a lot, yeah.
I loved how after that,
I'll take one of their eyes.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's make it even, she says. And it wasn't even lit. She wasn't even breathing hard.
No.
It just seemed a little evil.
Mm-hmm. She steps back. She's panting the whole thing. And then Aemond's like, Mom, it's literally fine because now I have a dragon.
Oh, that was so much better than a little aside.
Uh-huh. He's kind of like trying
FAB,
to pull her down.
It was like Aemon was known to say it was worth it.
Uh-huh.
I traded an eye for a dragon. I think that's a clean trade.
It.
And he said it in front of everyone. A little bit of a mic drop there in the cave.
Then we get that conversation with Allison and Otto where he says, I didn't think you had it in you. I didn't think you could do that. And now I'm more confident than ever that you can take it all the way because you had your little outburst. She was ready to roll over and just be done with the whole thing. She was like, that was so unbecoming of me. I can't believe I lost my mind like that. But her dad comes in and goes, I loved it.
Otto.
Keep that energy going. Otto is back, baby.
Yeah,
in
back.
The corner. There were so many great moments.
Yeah.
Once again, another moment I really liked about that scene. All the drama's happening in the middle. You got Otto and Damon as well standing off to the back a little. Both of them just making little smirks or eyes or laughing. I thought that was such a great touch.
The OG look from Damon to Viserys, the first one, where it was like, okay, this is all what it was before. We're the same people we were before.
Yep.
And Yeah, it's a really sad thing. We're at a funeral right now, but hey, it's all of us. The band's back together again.
All of our dragons are here.
All of our dragons are here.
We haven't been together in a long time.
Yeah, in the book, this funeral is the Dragon Woodstock, basically.
Yeah.
I didn't get quite that impression from the TV show itself, but they did everything else to level 12.
We had that one shot at the beginning when we open up on Driftmark.
You have them kind of circling it.
With all the dragons.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. Mm. I've actually been a little bit surprised that the dragons have taken kind of a backseat in the narrative.
Oh, man. But my impression was that they were so much that this was the turnover for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I felt like they were so much more present. They mm-hmm. made so much more of an impact on the actual story themselves. So much of the shots of Vhagar made me really feel like they were this little animal that we were taming. You know, obviously the hugest animal at the time, the biggest creature that we know about alive mm-hmm. in the world right now. So little may not be the thing, but there's just something about little arms with the wings around it.
Oh,
like
yeah.
a bat, you know what I mean? That membrane where uh-huh. it's just like, okay, you're pretty sweet.
Right.
You're pretty cute.
And you're vulnerable.
And they're dog-like. Mm-hmm. They're little pets mm-hmm. and they do things that you like. And if you say the right stuff to them and are the right way to them, they'll follow you. Aemond was in the ship. He didn't say, come fly with me, Vhagar. But Vhagar is like, all right, that's my guy.
I know
guy,
what I'm supposed to do.
I'm following you.
Uh-huh.
I just really like that.
Me too.
I like that marriage of animals and people. It just, what they're doing is this swirling organic truth that I know that Rings of Power right now is up against Hot D as far as a lot of the people that are talking on the internet because they want to have like a Team A versus Team B, who's going to win the Super Bowl sort of vibe. And I love Rings of Power, and I love Hot D, but one thing Rings of Power doesn't do is have this swirling vortex of human truth between people. It's very, this, then, thus, love, so thou.
Uh-huh.
Epic tale. But this is so zoomed in. And I think maybe on paper a lot of people would like something that feels more like a TV show or a movie that was separate from real life. But explain to me why we got so much satisfaction from a funeral.
I know.
Where characters we've only known for 6 or 7 episodes are looking at each other.
And they're playing, because they're all playing dirty. It's just they're in the mud playing dirty, and it's so satisfying. We haven't even talked about Rhaenyra and Daemon's little beach scene at the funeral either. There's so many
Let's
things that happened
it.
At this funeral.
I have a list of the scenes. Is this your favorite episode of the series so far?
I mean,
this is right behind Draenor for me.
Yeah, right? It might be my favorite.
I think it might be, too.
Episode.
I think it might be my favorite, too.
Which one did I really love? Episode 2? I can't remember.
What happened?
I can't remember.
The thing that you love.
I can't remember. And I can remember nothing before this one.
We only have 3 left.
Something
everybody.
I really, really liked, that same theme song that played. I don't know the correct music term. You can correct me. That played when Rhaenyra was running to meet Daemon that episode when they were going out into King's Landing.
Yeah.
That song was playing as Rhaenyra was looking at Daemon, and then Viserys went over to talk to him. And I was like, my heart was beating so
that
fast.
That happened in this episode?
Yeah.
No
they
way.
Say they play the same
that
motif.
That little motif.
Uh huh. Yeah. I thought it
so
was.
So they tickled us with it.
I could be wrong. I thought it was. But I lost my mind. There was just so much.
We're going to be useless this
reaction. I know. I'm really
episode.
Sorry.
We're going to be absolutely useless.
My
for
brain
this
is
one.
Going a million miles an hour on everything, but I just, Rhaenyra and Daemon's reunion and just the weight that was behind it. She was so aggressive with him. It ruled.
I'm going to go through a quick rundown of all the scenes that happened this episode for everybody listening and everybody that's on Insta live chat right now. There was the funeral, there was the first conversation between Rhaenys and Corlys. Campfire. No, not campfire. Hall fire. Then, of course, there was Aemond. Then there was when Bela was saying someone stole Vhagar. And then there was the cave scene. Just look at them, Aegon said. And then there was Otto and Allison talking about it afterward. And then there was Laenor and Rhaenyra. Laenor was like, whoa, what happened? You're getting stitched up right now.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? And then
I should have been there.
I should've
maybe those should be
maybe
our
those should be
words.
Your house words. Then there was the litter. Not a litter. There was a little. What do they call it? Just a stagecoach. Whatever the medieval version of that is of Viserys and Alicent heading out of Driftmark to the ship. Then Daemon and Rhaenyra finalizing their potential plans for the future, Damon just sort of listening. Well, did he play the long game and get slipped up into this situation? Or is he the same Damon from Pentos talking to Lana? Confusing. In the books, we always think, I'm speaking for myself, I always think Damon's always a rogue thinking for himself, but it seemed like he was just a part of the plan this time. And then there was Allison and Laris on the ship. Laris says, I shall await your call,
my queen. He's kind of standing in the background. Oh my gosh, when Kristen was like, Allison, Laris is creepily staring at you. And Allison's like,
Let him do it. Carl and Damon talking. Mm-hmm. Damon's he's like Harry Stylesing Carl.
Sure.
Not quite all the way, but doing all the right acts to get into Carl's good graces.
He's got his hood up. He means business.
He's like touching him the right way, but he's not quite putting his lips to his, if you know what I'm saying. And then Damon and Rhaenyra's wedding all happened
absolutely
in this episode.
Nuts.
Also, I conveniently left out the dark sex scene between Rhaenyra and Damon.
What do you think about that?
In what way?
Just
what do you mean?
You said it was dark because it literally was dark.
Outside. It wasn't sad.
Yeah.
What did I think? I think it should have been more energetic between them two finally doing it after all this time. But
no, it was powerful.
How so?
Because they were really just like.
Did they really seem like it though?
No,
everyone's
don't know.
Hair was in place.
I know, that's so true. They were on the beach.
She says, I'm not a child anymore. I want you.
I was like, they're hooking up on the beach. It's his wife's funeral. There's like 30 exclamation points on my notes. It was a long time coming between them. And Rhaenyra was particularly set on the whole thing happening.
So set.
She was
so
ready.
So why is she so set? Continue, please.
Because she's been set since day one, but now she's not a little kid anymore. It's like she said. And so all along, this is basically what she's wanted. And Damon had made that comment episodes ago to Viserys that marry her to me. Who knows how serious that was about anything or what's going on inside of his head. But the sentiment does ring true that this is an opportunity for Rhaenyra to strengthen her footing with everything that's going on.
Yeah, that seems to be the main reason.
And because she just wants it.
Well, that too. But I feel like Damon sitting there on that little rock sidewall listening to her talk was like...
Right.
Okay.
Right. Now I have to be part of all this
stuff. You need
stuff.
Me to be a part of this? Uh-huh. Fine. But it's such a... He didn't want to be a part of it at all. Right. But Rhaenyra, such a magnetic force to get him to be a part of it after
She's talking all. Fire. She's talking family. She's talking... Egg and the Conqueror, let's do this in the blood of our ancestors. She's saying all the right stuff. And so he's fully bought in.
Viserys inviting Damon back.
Come home.
It's been enough time. You know you need to come home. I'll give you a place at court. We can figure all of this out together. All the stuff that we want. I knew that Laenor was, his time was... fleeting in this episode.
You kept saying it over and over. Well, you're like, he's gonna die soon.
Well, just especially when the way he was talking to Rhaenyra, he goes, I'll renounce all of my foolhardiness. We'll actually try.
Right.
We'll try again.
I thought that was sweet between them.
It was, and but just, that's every time that happens in GOT, that means they're literally gonna die in the next 5 minutes.
But they did make a pact. And it's like we were talking so much in the last episode, the midweek episode. They made a deal with each other, and because it worked out for them. The only reason why it wasn't working out is because of Rhaenyra's station. Other than that, I mean, they've got a pretty good thing going. And she's like, you're a good man, and I appreciate you. But you couldn't give me the kid that I needed. And so now we're in this mess. We tried.
I mean, Rhaenyra acts like that, and then we feel like there's no... We talked about Allison the first half of this season being different. And that we really liked her a lot more than we thought we would. And in our last episode, we were like, never mind. Or at least I definitely was. Never mind. Delete everything I just said. Allison's really showing us who she really is. And then in this episode, for a minute, it seemed like Rhaenyra, we already knew about Damon, but for some reason, we all have a soft spot for him. I don't know why. I think it's probably Matt Smith, to be honest.
He's just... Nah, I'm not going to try to explain it away. Keep going with your thought.
But it seemed like for a second we were going to get the same thing from Rhaenyra.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after her and Lainor's history together, and I know he's bumbly, but that's it. Just bumbly. Not ready. No need to die. If you would have told me, if I would have thought about this plan, I would have been like, this is the plan you should do instead of killing him. They probably would have argued and said, no, we need to get rid of him. We're royal. This needs to be seamless. But for a second there, it seemed like she was going to do the hard-nosed plan with Daemon, which was, like Daemon said, if in order for us to actually get married, seal our houses with blood, like Aegon the Conqueror did with his sisters, we're going to have to get rid of him for sure. So it seemed like for a second we were going to get Rhaenyra at least being on the same equal level of not liking Rhaenyra or things that she's done as much as Allison.
But because Lannor didn't die.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to, if we'll see him again. What do you think the odds are of that? Do you think that him staying alive is
that was
simply
his Gendry.
Because...
That was his Gendry.
Gendry rode and rode and rode and then he came back.
That's true.
But my question is, so to your point, was he spared simply so that Rhaenyra would look less like the bad guy? Rhaenyra and Daemon would look less like the bad guy in the show. Or was he spared because for some reason something might bubble up with him again? I don't know.
That's a good question.
But I think... I was about to answer my own question. You go.
I think it wasn't to make Rhaenyra seem more likable. I think it was more accurate to her character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That there was no need to kill him if we didn't have to kill him. And he had been a confidant. There'd been camaraderie between them about their whole plan, so why not make another plan? Mm-hmm. Why be so hard-nosed at the edge of all this?
Especially when their plan, the pact that they made when they were kids, worked out so nicely
That's
for them.
Saying.
It was airtight.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, except for the fact that she had kids with someone else, it was wildly obvious. But
what do you mean? She has his father's nose.
Yeah. But, I mean, the pact that they had between each other was... solid. He was a good guy. Yeah. She had nothing bad to say about him.
But in the book,
so.
It's not clear that Rhaenyra is even a part of that. It almost seems like Daemon's just clearing the table with
so
Rhea,
take her.
With his own wife, and with
I'm really
Lainor,
glad. Well, and with the whole Harrenhal thing, which we thought was Daemon too in the book.
Yeah.
At least I did.
Well, I mean, yeah, it seemed like that.
I'm glad
it did
that
a little bit.
There is some extra Laerys and other things swirling around that Daemon isn't. Daemon can be this character that has, what was the word that they were talking about that he, Rhaenyra does some quip to him about, and I can't remember the exact phrase, I'm going to need to look it up really quick. Daemon is a wiggly guy, and he is not good, but he's not this Laerys evil, I would say, which I'm glad.
But he's definitely bad. Think about the first episode.
What happened in the first episode?
The gold cloaks.
Oh, I loved that.
You liked all those people. Raper. They're just pointing people. Murderer. Raper.
No, but I loved that scene when he was like frothing at the mouth when he was
really
getting
enjoying,
his gold cloaks,
yeah.
Rallying them up. No.
That's the thing I'm talking about, though.
He also killed his wife. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But
we see him carrying the rock.
But he's doing it all for the fam. You know? Mm. There's at least some... I don't know who said it. Daemon only works for Daemon, but there is at least some sort of whatever. We like him better than we like Laerys, so it's cool and fine. I get it, but I was just all this to say. I'm glad that we get less blood on their hands. Not literally, because she had lots of blood.
She
on
had
her
a lot
hands.
Of blood on her hands. It would have seemed more even, I think, if Lainor would have been roasted like we thought he was, right?
Even between Allison and Rhaenyra?
Yeah.
Oh, for
greens
sure.
Greens versus blacks.
For sure.
Also, shout out to the first mention of I'm going to need you to face the greens. Yeah.
And she says it in High Valyrian.
Uh-huh.
Is that the episode? Are those the lines that David was talking about, his favorite lines that he translated? I thought he said episode 7. I could have been wrong.
I think he might have.
I can't face the greens. Don't make me face the greens alone.
He said that he liked the conversation back and forth rather than it being commands or asides, which is what he said between all the movies and TV shows that he works on. That's usually what the language is used for. I think that's such a cute little thing that they did in Hot D where she wanted to connect with Daemon. She's like, by the way, remember we speak HV to each other?
Mm-hmm.
And then he even doesn't speak it back to her. He's not fully committed to the situation.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, he doesn't.
We also got a lot of it at
the
funeral.
He doesn't want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
What about the funeral?
Were they speaking High Valyrian at the funeral?
I don't think so.
What were they speaking? What language was that?
I'm not sure. I'm guessing it. I don't remember who was speaking at the
top. It was the brother, Corlys's brother.
Maybe he was, because they're both the blood of Valyria.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. I guess
it
was. Yeah, must have been.
I thought that was really powerful.
Yeah, it's hard for me to know it's High Valyrian unless there's a dragon rider queen going, "Hi, guys, I'm Namanabi." Otherwise, it's like, what is that exactly? Man. Yeah, Rhaenyra versus Alicent, though, like I said, with Laenor not being actually dead and that being the end of the episode, just the worst thing that happened to him is that he got his head shaved and he's being...
The worst thing that happened, you're like, man, that would suck.
That would suck, because he did have beautiful dreads. Yeah, but the fact that that's how they dealt with it, I'm still Team Rhaenyra all the way.
Of course you are. Of course we are. Because she's talking about being a tyrant. She's not going to be a tyrant, but she was going to rule with a heavy hand, I think. I can't remember specifically that conversation, but Rhaenyra plays the game ruthlessly, but she isn't. Alicent is, well, never mind. I was going to say Alicent. Now Alicent's being the sloppy one in this episode when she's...
What do you think was sloppy?
Her losing her cool and pulling the knife was sloppy.
That was pretty wild. She pulls it out of the king's holster.
She was like, this isn't enough.
Just what she told Kristen to do.
Yes. Yeah. It was a little out of line.
I want you to take one of Rhaenyra's kids' eyes out. An eye for an eye.
In front of everyone. This wasn't a backdoor conversation.
Dude.
Literally everybody was there.
The squabble of kids. I know when steel gets pulled, it's a lot more serious. Mm-hmm. That's probably that's definitely the dangerous underside of carrying around weapons, mm-hmm. especially if you're a kid.
Sure.
So don't give him a dragon, maybe.
Right.
But yeah, but sometimes steel might get pulled.
Steel gets pulled. Rumors are already flying, she says. She tells her dad. People are already talking that she's gone mad or something. And so I'm really looking forward to and curious about how that may play out in the next episode. In classic Viserys fashion, she tries to apologize and bring it up. He says, we're not going to talk about it ever again. He just doesn't want to talk about
it. Well, he was also asleep.
And
that rocky, bumpy
slowly
thing.
Slowly dying.
How sick do you have
unwell.
To be for that to be that bad?
He's always struggled in those little caravans, hasn't he?
He seemed to be having a good time the last time.
Okay, fair.
In episode two, he was basically saying, this is the stuff.
Oh, that may be fair.
We're going on a tiny adventure. The sun was shining that time. It's really dreary there in Driftmark.
That may be fair. But either way, I mean, he does. That's how he handles things. He doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't want to hear about it.
I can understand why he'd want to nip that whole situation in the bud.
Of course, but at the same time, if there was any opportunity for him to move against Alicent or to really put her in her place, that was the opportunity to do it.
I know. I don't think he wants to disrupt her as much as he doesn't want to disrupt the rest of his family. I mean, in the last episode, Alicent's being pretty unilateral and unabashed the way she's talking shit about Rhaenyra. Is the realm's delight.
Right.
His favorite little thing.
She pulled a knife on her,
dude,
though.
Too far. That's when it should have all been nipped in the bud, but he's still hopeful that they can just wish it away at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was way more intense than I thought that knife scene. Like you said, I didn't want it to be bad either. I didn't want it to be contrived. I didn't want it to be cheesy. I didn't want it to be cliche. The fact that it was done in Driftmark in a cave, basically, in a response to the whole Aemond Vhagar thing, a genius stroke of whoever did this, working on the show, a genius stroke of combining story elements and making it a million times better.
I agree.
And the way they cast those kids, good God, that Aemond actor, they've really given him some good direction, dude. He's like a little man, basically. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's supposed to do, and if they recast him the right way, holy crap.
He was boiling with anger as he was standing on the beach, or jealousy or something was all over his face as he was before he ran up to go Mount Vhagar.
Yeah.
He just was going through something. You could really tell that he was in the depths of something happening as he was making his way to the dragon. And so I totally agree. He was cast unbelievably.
So to everyone listening, the thing that Helena said in the last episode when she was playing with that bug, whenever he was talking about wanting a dragon, and Alicent was like, you'll get one. Helena says, you'll have to lose an eye, or
right.
You have to shut an eye. So.
All of us book readers were.
We're all like,
What did she say in this episode? I wrote it down, but it didn't make sense. And I may have written it down incorrectly, but she says, dragons of flesh weaving dragons of thread. So I'm not sure.
I'll need to revisit that.
I'll need to revisit, and maybe we only watched with subtitles the second time around, so I could have completely missed that. So correct us if we're wrong, but.
So basically she's weird. And when I say
weird,
So you say, yeah, a dreamer, which means that she has some kind of ability to tap into the magical threads floating around the world.
Aegon was like, wait, I wrote down that song. It's like, she's an idiot. He's like, can you imagine marrying her? And Aemon's like, she's your future queen. He's like, she's an idiot. She was sitting on the ground with spiders crawling, crawling around her hand. Yeah.
I mean, fair. Aegon was awesome in this episode.
Oh, my God.
Cup to cup, baby.
Yeah.
We are at a funeral, after all. He's like, pour one out for Lane of God, it's going to be so good. And I'm so glad that they've set it up so seriously. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see it going down like this with so much attention to detail to these, like I was saying at the beginning of this talk, just the smaller story elements, the interpersonal stuff. I just assumed it would be much more glitz and glamour. But instead, we're getting a lot more of the interpersonal focus, and the fact that it was able to be so moving in this episode was crazy. I'm so glad Allison melted down like she did, and I'm so glad Kristen Cole's dumbass decided to stand with the queen right in front of the king like that. I think they should have all fought each other right then, and the whole drama between the greens and the blacks would be settled right in this cave.
Right.
Yeah.
They should have. Yeah. It would have saved us a lot of trouble in the future. They were all standing on their sides, too, at the end of that episode, with Rhaenys and Corlys standing behind Rhaenyra. Based on what we know from Fire and Blood, without having seen the trailer yet, what happens next in the next three episodes? We talked about Storm's End being maybe a show, like episode 9.
It's got to be episode 2 or episode 1 of next season.
Oh, so
we're not
you
going
were
all
saying,
the way there.
You were saying we open season 2 with Storm's End.
Got to be some more age, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Before those little solo missions happening.
Sure. So what do you think?
I think
next?
The focus on the kids is going to be turned up even more. And I think that the style of episode we just saw is going to be how it's going to be for the rest of the season. I think it's
going to
be intensely personal, and it's going to be like I said, like an episode of Mad Men, basically, in Westeros, where it's these people versus people, and less about the banners, less about the heraldry, less about the families in Westeros, less about the world even, but specifically zoomed in on these folks, which I think would not have worked in the opening of the season, but they successfully went wide and then
I was thinking,
and I care so much after only 7 episodes.
Right.
It wouldn't matter if I read Fire and Blood at all. This would make me want to read Fire and Blood, and then I'd be pissed off that it was just the cliff notes. But it would also make me feel really smart if I was reading Mushroom's accounts of stuff, and I go, I know what actually happened. Otto's more crafty than what Septon Eustace actually thinks.
Right. I'm really grateful for those small council scenes that we had in the first couple episodes. We kept saying over and over, why are we in the small council so many times? We've been here so often. But we really did get that big picture setting the stage. And I think that was really apparent in the last episode when we got that small council scene with Allison and Rhaenyra apologizing to each other, or Rhaenyra apologizing to Allison. We were back in our original
that tied it
setting
all together,
scene.
For sure. Because for one, she was just a cupbearer and they were children. And now they're literally saying stuff smarter than the rest of the men there.
They're the only ones having a real conversation.
Yeah.
And so it would make sense that from there it would only continue to zoom in. But we're on episode 7. I mean, this is the beginning of the banger episodes traditionally when we look at how Game of Thrones seasons would go in the past. And so
Flexi J Bird on our Insta chat right now said this episode made me care more than any episode so far, and I'm now hooked
completely. And when I sat down to watch this episode, we knew, we were like, tonight's gonna be a good night. This is gonna be a wild night. This is gonna be a good episode. And this was an unbelievable episode of TV, of Game of Thrones. It set the standard and set the bar for how the show could be. It was subtle, and it was well shot, and it was weighted, and it was heavy, and it was funny, and it was twisted and dark, and it was also really intense, and it was cute. When we got that, when Aemon was riding Vhagar, we got some Harry riding Buckbeak vibes as they were going into the lake.
Toes dragging the water.
You know, it was, it had everything that you're looking for from a TV show. And I'm just so, again and again, grateful that we care this much, because this is episode 2 with the kiddos. And we're losing eyes over the sides that we're picking.
This is a grown-up TV show, though. And I felt like a lot of the focus on the kids make this show watchable for kids.
No.
I do.
It's not a kids show.
I just feel like Luke and Jacera sitting in front of the fire talking to their mom. Mm-hmm. I could feel kids being like, this is the scene that I like in this show. And obviously, they shouldn't watch this necessarily. I would have watched it if I was a kid. I would have figured out a way to see it. And there's probably a lot of kids that are watching it, and that makes it a little bit dangerous, more dangerous for them because they have actually characters to attach to. Mm-hmm. I'm just so impressed how much they made us care about the lineage of Alicent and Rhaenyra.
I know.
I didn't think that we would ever care. And to be honest, when you're reading Fire and Blood, until you're forced, even people like Baelin, the OG Baelin who and Alyssa, you know, even when they're young, eventually these characters grow up. It was the same with Jaehaerys and Allie, really. All of their kids, all of them. Really not their kids because a lot of their kids died. But when you're going through Fire and Blood, and probably when you're living through history moment by moment, you see all these new people getting born and you're like, yeah, but what about the main thing that's actually happening?
Right.
And they've successfully made us transition between only caring about the main thing, and now we're suspicious and looking forward and thinking about what kind of damage can be done by these kids and what kind of drama can be festered between them. It's just a shame because it seemed like little Aegon liked all the strong boys in the last episode, and that's going to be twisted in some way, but he'll be less mad than Aemond for sure. So Aemond want, and what's going to be the plan, and how much will Otto twist the blade in that little kid? Probably get a little Aemond Otto scene in the next episode.
Well,
based on what he said, he was said to Allison, no, he's right, this is worth 1,000 eyes. Mm-hmm. Basically,
what a great return for Otto. No fanfare, no convo about Otto's back, everybody. Otto's just back. The pin's back on him. He's kicking the heir to the throne in his mind. You know, he's ready for war. He's back, baby, and he's participating. It was interesting to me kind of how far Alicent went without Otto's help. But now we have him back in the mix. And so,
yeah,
like you're saying, what kind of conversations is he going to have with Aemond? What kind of conversations is he just going to be having with Viserys about the situation and how that forces Aemond's trajectory?
Because Laenor wasn't killed and because Alicent was surprised by Laerys in the last episode and still tepid about arming Laerys in this episode. It still feels like Rhaenyra and Alicent, even though a lot of stuff has gone down, are still at their core. Not too bad.
Well, they said it to each other. I mean, what did they say when the knives were pulled for a moment? When they were like, this isn't like you.
Yeah, Rhaenyra said that to Alicent.
It was that glimmer of, wait, we're still kids and still friends. Don't let Laerys and Otto be in a room together having a convo. Can you imagine that between the two of them?
Laerys is going to take the pin right off of Otto and be like, that's mine. they're not, I think, fully evolved yet. Maybe this is as much havoc will be wreaked between them, though. I'm not sure. Honestly, I don't know. But I'm looking forward to rewatching this episode again.
Me too. My brain feels so jumbled and all over the place. Just
really?
From excitement, I think. I loved the vibes of this episode.
No, it was good. I know a lot of people on the internet got a leaked version of this episode ahead of time. So there's been a lot of really smart and cool tweets everyone's been making, pretending like they're cool and smart, talking about how dark the episode was in certain parts. Sorry, guys. Get a better TV. Hannah's TV sucks. Hannah's TV sucks, but it's not that bad. But it's also not that great. It's really big. And it looked great. You got one of those TVs that's really big that they sell like Black Friday for like $10. That's like really big. But maybe they don't look the best during dark scenes. Looked fine.
It looks great.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the complaints that everybody was making during the long night. It's too dark. I was having the same thought.
That was pretty dark.
A good chunk long of this episode was shot late at night, or it looked late at night.
That transition between dark and the morning tied me into the whole thing that they were doing, dude.
It felt like it was just the full 24 hours it was like an episode of 24 TBT. You know, you're going through hour by hour.
You watched 24?
I mean, like three episodes
I watched the hell out of 24. Yeah, let's do a 24 podcast.
Okay. All I know about 24 is that each episode is 24 hours.
No, it's 1 hour.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wait. The season is 24 hours.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
whatever.
It's a day.
Listen, but what I'm trying to say.
You took nothing away from it.
Yeah, okay, my bad.
Oh, Jesus.
Listen, okay, my bad. All I was trying to say is to be able to slowly watch the progression from night to day, minute by minute, the whole thing was powerful.
Yeah, I was patient.
And I don't know anything about 24.
I'm looking forward to, let's just do our own.
I'm scared for you to ask me my own because I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. I'm ready for my owns. My owns, I've got two of them for this episode. My own, my first own, in no particular order, is going to go to Corlys when he tells Rhaenys that history does not remember blood, it remembers names. Mm. And his whole argument about the Valyrian name will be passed on, so it doesn't matter what who they are, what they look like, basically. Owned that, and that whole conversation between Rhaenys and Corlys was really enlightening, I would say. And then my second own goes to Rhaenyra telling Daemon, I cannot face the greens alone. Because her saying the greens, I mean, it's like when in Game of Thrones, they would, like when...
when you play the Game of Thrones, you win see, or you exactly. die.
Anytime they reference the Game of Thrones, it's like, living for it.
Leo DiCaprio.
So, owns to that.
I'm going to give my own to Aemond for snagging the coolest dragon, the most patient seeming, most patient seeming dragon on the planet, also Vhagar. And also an own to the showrunners and the writers of the series for making dragons such a main focus, clearly. It was the animal stuff I was talking about before, your little pets that are actually nuclear weapons and the main focus of all this. I felt it, especially when Rhaenyra was talking to Daemon. It was the subtext. I need you, uncle. What do you need him to do? You already got kids. What do you need him to do? I need Caraxes, uncle. We need more dragon power. I need someone who can swing a blade. But more importantly, we're coming to get you, Drahar, on top of your crazy dragon. So I really like that the dragons are front and center in Hot D. They should be. But it seemed like something that a TV show wouldn't have had the cojones to do. Because it's a prestige moment on a major network that is known for doing things like, obviously Game of Thrones, but True Detective, The Sopranos. Not dragons.
Right.
Not
right,
the never-ending story.
Right.
But, I mean, there's a bunch of us sitting at home watching a dragon stir like a big dog. And we're like, ooh, are they going to get the dragon? That's so cool to me. And so own to, this felt like a victory lap for the concept of dragons just being on TV. I mean, we were all on the edge of our seat wondering what was going to happen with this kid getting this dragon. And I think seeing the course of Aemond, especially juxtaposed against Rhaenyra's kids and the existing adults, especially Daemon, seeing Aemond grow up and seeing the rest of them grow up, but having dragons be the way they actually interface with each other, rather than like they should have in the cave with conversation, or even let's just sword fight, or let's just pull out some daggers. The blades don't even have to be long. Are we mad at each other? Let's just fist fight.
Or bring rocks into the situation.
Fine. Yeah. Let's get this figured out. But instead, because we have dragons, we're going to bring dragons into this. And that's why this whole conflict is so crazy in the first place. So own to all that.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to... We got some dragon stuff coming up.
Yeah. And it seems like it's not going to be cliche either, hopefully.
It hasn't been cliche so far.
That's the thing. So we got three episodes left. Obviously, we really liked the show, but if it wasn't that good, we would have said that and we wouldn't have been that excited. I wasn't expecting to like this episode so much, especially if I saw it on paper.
I know.
But they made Driftmark seem like a real place, and they shot it from basically every angle that they possibly could. And the only thing that was missing was a barbecue grill for half of this episode. It was that good. And of course, Patty as Viserys was ridiculous. Give that dude an Emmy tonight.
I know.
Go ahead and give him the early call for the Emmy. And we'll be retweeting your owns for the rest of the week and tonight whenever we press stop on this episode. And we'll be back pretty soon to do our part two of this episode. We're going to go even deeper into it. And I don't really know the deeper version of these interpersonal conversations, but we'll see how that shakes out.
I know we've got to think of some good questions to ask. So everybody get ready. If you can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, by searching for Game of Owns. Like you said, owns, questions, thoughts, vibes.
That's it. Anything final you want to say to people?
This show rules.
Cool.
And I'm having the best time ever.
I heard you all like the hot D. So since you like it so much, we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.